As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast, Growlin. Paul Ener Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic here with you on the walkout on a Halloween night where the Bengals lose 32-13 in Cleveland in a game that wasn't quite that close, and have a massive pile of problems to sift through that are more than just one bad night, some that feel like they might have ramifications throughout the rest of this season, and a bad loss at a bad time on a big stage, and certainly a big moment for this team this season, slamming back to reality after the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you could call this the limp out version as opposed to the walkout. It was such a poor performance. The injuries are mounting. The Awuzie one is really big. I've never seen that before. You see it when a guy's on a cart and people come over and dap him up, but the number of people going into the blue tent I assume they weren't checking on him. I'm sure the word spread and they were just going in there to console him. The locker room tonight felt more devastated and quiet, and almost like a death in the family had happened than even after the Super Bowl. We weren't in the locker room after the Super Bowl, but it was palpable in the air, and I think they all realize what a hole they are in right now, and how big that climb is going to be.
They're 4-4. They're 0-3 in the division.
That's it.
And Baltimore has the easiest schedule in football, essentially, in front of them. And the Bengals have one of the hardest. And it got exponentially harder tonight as these injuries pile up. You know, if you were taking Burrow out of the equation as the obvious, and you said, all right, who are the next ones that you definitely can't lose? Reader, Awuzie, Chase might be the order you go in, with maybe Hendrickson in there, who's also playing through all kinds of stuff right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the quantity, it's the quality of, you know, they have a pinpoint attacked, you know, this team, these injuries, that this is the long lasting thing. And Zach Taylor says after the game, you know, it doesn't look good, you know, with Cheeto, and yeah, it does seem knee injury. They just don't have the ability to withstand that one. Like, they already were playing Cam Taylor Britt, where a week ago they were just trying to get him snaps so he knows what an NFL game's like. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, he's the closest thing to a real corner you've got out there. They had to pull Dax Hill out to play corner late in the game. Trey Flowers and Eli Apple, both with hamstrings. Eli inactive. Flowers has it during the game. Flowers might as well have been playing on one hamstring trying to cover Amari Cooper. I mean, nowhere near him. He's not winning that matchup. That's not who he is. And they, Cheeto was always the injury I think that they had the most concern about. Mm-hmm. He's playing at such a high level. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level at a premium position for them. And for it to now leave them exploring this depth of which they really don't have, and you're going to be talking about Eli Apple and Cam Taylor-Britt maybe being your starting corners, and that's you got to start that plane. That plane ride from Cleveland to Cincinnati needs to be full of some real conversations with Duke Tobin, mm-hmm. because what are you going to do? I mean, that is a huge loss. If there is any way that you can get somebody else in here at corner that can play anywhere in the vicinity of that level, I mean, it's an uphill battle to get that person in and integrated and understanding stuff quick, but they got to have a real conversation of if that's something they need to do. It certainly seems like it's something they need to be heavily considering if it's at all possible.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it, the trio of injuries, at least with DJ Reader, he's very close to coming back, and they got lucky with Chase where it's not going to be as long as initially feared. That this one, it sounds like it's season ending, and just the loss of him. And it's not just what he brings X and O wise, which has been fantastic. You said he's playing at a Pro Bowl level, but I mean, these guys know what this game is, and injuries are a part of it, but it kind of reminded me of Atlanta when Tyler Eifert went down, and different situation because he had been through so many, but you could really feel how hard that one hit him. Cheeto is such a leader on this team, so respected, so important. And it almost felt like that was the bigger blow than the loss itself.
And so they're clearly reeling defensively. The second half stretch is up in flames. They went three touchdowns and three drives in the second half and put the game away quickly. I mean, you couldn't have scripted a worse way to play the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
You know, a team that is emotionally fragile. They've had blowups and all kinds of crap the last few weeks. They've lost four in a row. They're playing on Monday Night Football. They have a great run game and a pass rush that will eat you up with Myles Garrett. How about you don't fall behind by two scores again? I mean, look, once or twice you can say, oh, a ball didn't go our way. We had some trouble on this drive and this. If that happens a couple times, a couple games, you can see that. You now have five road games this year. Four of them, they have fallen behind by double digits early. Four of them. Mm-hmm. It's just how they play. It's who they are. We talk all the time about things that are kind of becoming who you are, sometimes good, sometimes bad. This is part of who they are. They go on the road, and they start like crap, and they have to dig out of the hole. Well, you ain't digging out of holes when they can just run Nick Chubb at you and you have to block Myles Garrett when he knows you're throwing. Like that, you can't play the Browns that way. And they did, you know, and you will hear about rhythm and turnovers and how, just the tipped ball. There was a lot of other plays in there. There was a lot of stuff not going right in there. And you had plenty of opportunities to get things right. Really, nothing went well. They didn't do anything very well tonight. But the slow starts and constantly playing from behind on the road are brutal. They're just brutal.
They are. And it's not sustainable. It is impressive what they've been able to do to erase these deficits, but you knew it wasn't going to be sustainable. And it caught up with them tonight. That's exactly what happened. And we've seen every time they play the Browns, it seems like, except for that shootout where they hit Donovan Peoples-Jones for the game winner with a couple seconds left. This is how it plays out with this team. The Browns just pound Nick Chubb, and it was Kareem Hunt too. I thought overall the run defense did a pretty good job. I think the Browns still ended up with like 3.9 yards per carry, but you when they can just run it in the second half and not worry about really needing to score, more so just moving the chains, it's a tough way to live. And yes, the Bengals schedule gets a lot harder after this, but they've got time to if they can find a cornerback and make a trade, I mean, you're talking about PJ Walker and Kenny Pickett, and I don't think Ryan Tannehill scores anybody. They're not seeing the Patrick Mahomeses and the Josh Allens till much later in the year. They need to figure out a way to make sure those games matter and they're not just playing out the string. Cause tonight it was shocking. Yes, you lose Ja'Marr Chase, but you look around that roster and how many weapons they have. To be scoreless through three quarters, that's just, I don't know. I don't want to say head scratching because we've seen them have these struggles before, but that can't happen. When you have that many weapons and you're playing a team who, oh, by the way, also is really banged up on defense, missing guys in the secondary, playing practice squad guys at linebacker, to have no points and what they have 100 yards in the first half. It was just that can't happen. That there's a lot of talk, like you said, a play here or there, not getting in a rhythm, breaks didn't go our way. The Browns just made more plays than us. They need to take a hard look because you're still going to be without Ja'Marr Chase for at least two more games, and they've got to figure out a way to make this offense hum or even move at all. It can't look like it looked tonight.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This comes back to what it has been all year. It's about protection. It's about protection allowing you to have rhythm. It's about the offensive line. It's about them looking like trash tonight. And we said this last week. We said this the last 2 weeks. Don't go getting crazy. I want to see what they look like against a real pass rush. Mm-hmm. The Falcons and the Saints were 30th and 32nd in pressure percentage. We knew that those were teams that really had very little to offer. The Bengals line needed to come out and play well against teams that have real pass rushers and be better that way. Tonight was a major concern in that area. This wasn't just Myles Garrett being great. This was a lot of dudes losing over and over again, and Burrow really looking really uncomfortable back there, trying to make plays and trying to work through all kinds of traffic that was going on. It was a mess. Everyone was losing. This wasn't just Jonah Williams having a bad night. Everyone was losing. It was bad, and it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. I think it almost confirms in many ways that so much of the last 2 weeks was opponent based. So much of the last 2 weeks, what you saw from the line and the protection, allowing them to get to that intermediate middle, having the time to work that second level of the field, was about Falcons and Saints couldn't get you. There's a lot of teams. They're going to play teams that get you. Okay, and the line is supposed to be stable enough to handle it, and they certainly didn't look like one tonight, and you wonder, you know, what that continues to look like going forward, because that is what is making the offense break down more than anything.
And I talked about I don't know what the opposite of murderer's row is, but the kind of the easy part that they have against quarterbacks, but there's going to be more real pass rushes coming because you got Brian Burns and the Panthers next week. You got the Steelers after the bye. Yes, this is when we will find out if this offense line has truly gelled and has improved, or if it's going to keep looking like this. I mean, we've seen Joe Burrow make these miraculous escapes and make so many plays he turtled on a play. It was so bad. I mean, there were two guys were there and he just basically turtled up and took the sack. There was nothing else he could do. And that was late in the game. Things were out of hand, but you just don't see that from that guy. He thinks he can get out of any situation and make any play work. And that one, that kind of summarized the whole night for this offense. It was just hopeless.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's a fatal flaw. I mean, if they can't find a way to be better than this, And granted, you are playing from behind, and that is not great. But I mean, they weren't great early when it was close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like, you know, they were some great unit early on. They couldn't run the ball. You know, they weren't trying to a bunch, but again, 3.4 per carry for Joe Mixon, 8 for 27. You know, the progress you felt like maybe they had made in the run game with the gun runs and the downhill stuff and the RPOs off that. This is a Browns team that does nothing but give up yards on the ground, especially up the middle. You couldn't do anything against them. I mean, this is the team that you should be able to gash. Can't do it. Couldn't do it. And you know, that's a problem. You know, Joe Mixon can't hold up in pass protection, has a drop, can't break tackles. You got to have questions what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Evans makes a great play early in the game and then goes back to the bench for the game. Had one more snap after that. I mean, look, at some point when you can't move the ball, I think, hey, let's try the Evans thing again. You know, right. I mean, or it's easy to say that in retrospect, but there's just so much where you're just like, what is going on out there? It was a total cluster, and just some of this stuff, it didn't feel like, oh, a bad night stuff. It feels like stuff that's going to have legs to live on with this team for a while, and it certainly goes a long way to make people forget what the last 2 weeks looked like.
Yeah, and a lot of talk in the postgame in the locker room after about, you know, they beat Carolina, they're 5-4, that's exactly what they were at the bye last year. And I mean, so many times when you talk to these guys, they say last year's last year. They don't want to talk about it, but that's how bad they're grasping at straws right now, or just looking for answers for some glimmer of hope that, hey, maybe they can be the same record that they were at the bye last year and get hot in the second half. But there was more evidence that something like that could build right now. And yes, it's one loss, and they were 4-3 before this and right on the cusp of a playoff spot, but it does. It feels like the way it happened tonight, it feels, I don't want to say ominous, but it feels like it's more than just a bad night at the office, more than just a loss. It feels like these are going to be hard things they're going to have to fix moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge blow to the idea of the North. I mean, with what Baltimore has in front of them, what you have in front of you as the Bengals. I mean, and now 0-3 in the division.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a really hard one to overcome. You've lost to the Browns and the Steelers, who you thought were going to be on the bottom of this two-horse race. Like, I mean, these are just L's you can't take. Yeah, maybe you get yourself back to 5-4. Congratulations. You know, here comes Tennessee and Kansas City and Buffalo and whatever Tampa's going to be, and Baltimore again. And it's just, you know, I mean, you can't continue to lose games that you need to win against quarterbacks that you should be better than. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, 17-22. For 278, 12.6 yards per attempt to Jacoby Brissett, 133.7 rating to Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett? I mean, what is going on? That's the kind of stuff you're going to have to get used to if you are this deep in your cornerback depth chart.
Right.
You're not getting much pressure. That's the type of stuff that you're going to have to get used to. And then throw in, you talk about one of the nights where you're like, what is even happening out there? Kevin Huber with a shank, Evan McPherson with a missed field goal and a missed PAT. I mean, the things, you know, McPherson, something you think that you can count on. I mean, that was a big play in the game when he missed that field goal, turned it around, and Cleveland comes back the other way. It's 11-0 instead of 8-3 at half. I mean, that's these things. And you're just not used to seeing that. Special teams as a whole, you know, rough night for special teams as a whole. So, you know, every phase plays bad. They lay just an inexcusable egg in a big spot, and they're going to have a tough one. You know, this is going to add in there. This one, Pittsburgh, where at the end of the season, as they're fighting and clawing to try to find every corner, you're going to be like, God, how did you lose? You just can't lose those games. You just can't keep losing those games. And now you've got the rest of the attrition starting to catch up on you.
Yeah, and it's you talked about how bad they've been on the road and in early in games, and it does. It feels like if they are able to get things turned around, you're hoping for wild card, which means you're on the road in the playoffs. So it just feels like this one was more than one loss, because there's so many things. And sometimes you say that's a good thing. If everybody's going to have a bad night, just all have it at once and get it out of the way. But this didn't feel like a one-off for Evan McPherson. Yes. But for some of these other issues, it's some of them are ongoing and some of them may just be starting.
T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd have to be more involved. I mean, you know, you at one point when the game was over, you had both of them with two receptions. I mean, it's just, if you're not going to have Jamar Chase and you got these other guys and they don't have Denzel Ward, you just got to be able to get them involved more. They've got to be winning more. You've got to be finding them more. That has to be a dedicated thing. I mean, you're just, that can't be where you end up. I mean, you finally find T. Higgins and give him a shot down the field, and he makes play for you. And a lot of it goes back to the line stuff like that. You know, some of the we'll spend some time this week talking about what changes maybe they can make, what they're going to need to make, what we're going to see. I don't know where it is, but you know, perhaps Dax Hill should be in the mix somewhere. Perhaps less Joe Mixon. You know, there's a bunch of different areas where you can start to say, you know, Kevin Huber, you know, it just feels like this is going to be a soul searching week for this team to figure out who they are, how they're going to dig out of this hole, and some of the changes that they need to make, because they've got to figure something out, or else it can get out of hand really quickly.
Yeah, they don't have the luxury of waiting until the bye, waiting one more week to do some of that soul searching and self scouting and all that. It's got to happen immediately, and it's got to happen on a short week. You know, it's Monday night. They got one less day to get ready for Carolina, and I don't think Carolina's the softy that everybody thought they were. They seem to be playing pretty well now under the new coach, and it's going to be really interesting to see what direction they go, because some of these things that would seem to be more moves to make at the bye week may have to happen this week.
Before 4 o'clock on Tuesday, potentially. I mean, we'll see. So we will see if they feel a little bit more pushed to try to make a move at the deadline. I did not anticipate there being anything major. I mean, they still have, you know, there's guys that they could potentially try to trade that are sitting around, whether we're talking about Jackson Carmen or Isaiah Prince, or, you know, I mentioned Eli Apple this afternoon, but I mean, not now. I mean, Lord knows you're hanging on to him at this point. And that shows you the state of affairs and the fallout from losing a guy like Cheeto. And so will be very interesting to track and see if the Bengals decide that they need to put a little more push into going for it this year and trying to take advantage of this, or if they're still going to be unwilling to really part with anything of any real substance, you know. So we'll be tracking that certainly on Tuesday. Busy week ahead to keep an eye on all this stuff. But for now, say we wrap it up. I'm sure you guys are ready to be done talking about this game or hearing about this game. But unfortunately, it's going to go on for a little while. Bengals lose 32-13 on Monday Night Football. And we will be back on – we'll just have – one other episode this week. We'll have a Thursday episode we'll be shoving everything into there with the short week and the walkout art being up. So keep an eye out for that. So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening. And we will talk to you next time. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.